top stories this hour. A top Euro MP accuses France and Germany of blackmailing Greece to buy arms amid economic hardships. The U.S. unemployment rate jumps to 9.9 in April. And Israel rejects the demands to join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.
It is 8 p.m. in Washington, D.C. and 3 a.m. in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. A leading European parliamentarian is accusing France and Germany of forcing Greece to buy billions of euros in arms in exchange for their contribution to the Greek financial aid package. European Member of Parliament Daniel Cohn-Bendit says Paris and Berlin are blackmailing Greek Prime Minister Georgios Papandreou to honor arms deals made by previous Greek governments. Cohn-Bendit says France and Germany are bullying Athens to spend Greece's scarce cash on submarines, warships, helicopters and warplanes. This is while the two countries have publicly called on Greece to make harsh public spending cuts. France has denied the accusations. Well, France has called the situation in the Eurozone a systematic crisis, while Italy says it is a state of emergency.
The European Commission insists it will do whatever it takes to tackle the crisis sparked by the Greek financial crisis.
We'll do whatever it takes to safeguard financial stability, not only of Greece, but of all the euro area. What you can see tonight is the Eurozone united around its currency, the euro.
Eurozone leaders say they will have special emergency measures ready before financial markets open on Monday, but no details of the proposals have been announced yet. Leaders of the 16 countries sharing the euro had gathered in Brussels to endorse a 110 billion euro aid package extended to Greece by the EU and the IMF.
We'll do whatever.
Well, unemployment is still on the rise in the United States. U.S. Secretary of Labor Hilda El-Solis says the economy has gained 290,000 jobs in April. However, she has added that the unemployment rate has risen to 9.9% from the figure in the first 3 months of this year. The U.S. Congress recently passed the HIRE Act that is helping encourage small businesses to start hiring again through tax cuts and Social Security tax exemptions for new hires. The Labor Department has also called on Congress to extend the unemployment insurance provisions in the Recovery Act through the end of the year. Well, meanwhile, in the U.S., Wall Street has closed after a terrible week of American markets. The Dow Jones ended the turbulent week down nearly 140 points. It had earlier dropped almost 1,000 points in only half an hour of a single session. The week was the seventh worst week in points for the Dow. Meanwhile, Nasdaq was down 54 points. Reports have said a technical fault or trader mistake may have contributed to the collapse. However, markets are still unable to regain their confidence. Well, a U.S. senator has introduced a bill to strip U.S. citizens suspected of terrorist links of their citizenship even before they face trial.
Well, the proposed legislation comes before U.S. officials had a chance to investigate possible links between New York alleged attacker Faisal Shahzad and the Taliban's in Pakistan thoroughly. Press TV's Colin Campbell joins us from the U.S. State Department with more.
Faisal Shahzad, the Pakistan-born U.S. citizen accused of carrying out Saturday's attempted car bombing in New York, told authorities he received training at a camp in Pakistan. Federal authorities are trying to confirm that claim and just how much money was funneled into the effort by an individual or a terror network financed by extremists.
We continue to develop information, here as the investigation continues. The flow of information to Pakistan has begun.
The 30-year-old former budget analyst was arrested Monday night on board a flight to the United Arab Emirates. Authorities are trying to determine whether he acted alone or was a conspirator in an international plot with origins in Pakistan. Pakistani Taliban initially took credit for the attack, then said it had not trained Shahzad.
all the things that the simple things people have been saying.
Senator Lieberman announced that he would introduce legislation that would strip suspected terrorists of their U.S. citizenship, allowing authorities to prosecute terrorism cases in military commissions. But the American Civil Liberties Union is opposing such a move, saying obeying the Constitution is not optional and deciding whether or not to apply it on a case-by-case basis.
There are constitutional implications in this law, this proposal, we are going to study it. I would also say that some of the assumptions behind Senator Lieberman's proposal are also, you know, subject of court cases that are in the courts right now.
A full FBI investigation will take weeks, if not months, to complete. Some authorities and analysts say they're working against a timetable.
There are going to be groups doing this. It's going to affect the U.S. and many other countries. And I don't think that's going to change anytime, certainly in the next few years.
A full FBI investigation will take weeks, if not months, to complete. But whether the suspect was working alone or with the Taliban is a question that investigators will need to answer. For Press TV, Colin Campbell, Washington.
The British Petroleum says it's keeping up its containment efforts in the cleanup of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. A huge dome has been designed to funnel oil from the leaking site on the seabed to the surface for storage and processing. Workers are lowering the 100-ton dome to the depth of 1,500 meters below the surface in order to cap the leak. However, BP officials say they are not sure if their plan is going to work, since it is the first time they are putting the new technology into practice. The leak is spewing some 200,000 gallons of oil a day into the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, Israel has no intention of reviewing its nuclear policy despite calls for a Middle East without weapons of mass destruction. A top Israeli government official has reportedly said that Tel Aviv sees no reason to change its nuclear policy. This comes just after world powers at a UN non-proliferation conference called for ways to achieve disarmament in the region. Meanwhile, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, in a letter to the 151 member states, urged international efforts to convince Tel Aviv to join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Israel, which rejects putting its nuclear facilities under IAEA supervision, is believed to possess more than 200 nuclear warheads. Now, for more on this, we're being joined by Hossein Ibish, a senior fellow with the American Task Force on Palestine. Now, many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Well, after Israel's attack on Iraq's nuclear facilities in 1981, the UN Security Council Resolution 487 called upon Israel to put all its nuclear facilities under IAEA safeguards. However, Israel has continued to defy this, along with other UN resolutions. Now, why has Israel's defiance been given a blind eye while other nations get penalized for simpler issues?
Well, largely, I think, because the United States and the West in general protects Israel's nuclear weapons under a 1969 agreement achieved under the Nixon administration. The quid pro quo is that the United States will keep Israel's nuclear arsenal off the international table as long as Israel does not acknowledge it has one and doesn't talk about it and doesn't threaten anybody with it directly. That agreement has held. Now, it has shaken a little bit in the past few days, because at the NPT review conference and also within the context of the IAEA board, Arab states, Turkey, and others have been raising the issue of Israel's nuclear arsenal, and also, by the way, of India and Pakistan's status as non-NPT signatories that also have nuclear weapons. And, you know, there was this call by the IAEA board for a nuclear-free Middle East that was supported by the United States, so there's an implication there, and an effort by the IAEA leadership to try to get other countries rhetorically to put pressure on the Israelis. I think all of this needs to be seen in the context of an effort to shore up the international position vis-a-vis Iran. Because exceptions to the NPT, like Israel, like India, like Pakistan, are embarrassing when there's an effort to enforce the NPT in great detail when it comes to countries like, and especially it's Iran. Let's be honest about it. That's what it's about.
Yes, well, now Israel's secret nuclear activities may undergo unprecedented scrutiny next month, according to reports, with a key meeting of the IAEA set to focus on the topic for the first time.
That's right.
Now, would the results be any different for Israel from what we have seen in the past?
I don't think so. I actually doubt that the June 7th meeting is going to take this up. And if it does, they'll probably take it up theoretically and probably simply reiterate the position that Israel ought to engage the IAEA and Israel ought to be forthcoming and ultimately sign the NPT, whether as a nuclear or non-nuclear power, no one can tell. What has happened, just to put your question into some specific context, is that a draft schedule, a secret draft schedule of the June 7 IAEA meeting has been leaked, I'm sure quite deliberately, to the media. And on it, one of the agenda items is Israel's nuclear activities. This is unprecedented. The IAEA in recent years has spent most of its time talking about Iran and Syria, and sometimes about some other issues, but mainly those two. It really hasn't dealt with the question of Israel in a many, many years. And so to see it come up now, and in a context in which and there's all of this activity vis-a-vis the question of Iran and the push and back and forth between the United States on the one hand and its allies like Egypt and Turkey on the other hand, who have grave concerns about Israel's weapons and also India and Pakistan's status as well, it's become, I think, hard to manage. And so I think what you're looking at is the United States and sympathetic bureaucrats in the IAEA who are independent but who are, you know, operate within the multilateral context in which the United States has a great deal of influence, wanting to find a way to acknowledge these concerns as legitimate without changing the fundamental policy of turning a blind eye to Israel's weapons. And I think you can expect that to continue, even if the agenda isn't changed. And by the way, the agenda could be changed any time between now and June 7. And it could well be a signal, you know, to the international community and to Israel that this is a subject that just can't be suppressed forever.
Right. Now, how does Israel's refusal to join the NPT and the West's unwillingness to pressure it to do so reflect upon the sincerity of the Obama administration's commitment to a nuclear-free zone in the Middle East? Briefly, if you can, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are exceptions to that. I think what it reflects is the Obama administration. I don't think they're completely hypocritical about it, but I think that they don't see that as the single most important issue, and I think they see it as the end result of the establishment of a stable order in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East, and a general reduction in the possibility of warfare. Until that happens, I think the United States intends to have nuclear weapons in the waters around the Middle East through its navy, and I think it intends to protect Israel's nuclear program as well. But it's very concerned about the possibility of a nuclear arms race, and it's one of these tightropes that a great power has to walk. It's quite difficult, but it's not going to change its policy anytime soon.
Right. Hossein Ebesh, Senior Fellow with the American Task Force on Palestine, many thanks indeed for your insight here on Press TV.
Thank you very much.
It's close to 4:45 in the morning here in Tehran. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. A top Euro MP accuses France and Germany of blackmailing Greece to buy arms amid economic hardships. Also, the U.S. unemployment rate jumps to 9.9 in April. Israel rejects the demands to join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty.